like I did last week.
Okay, here we go. So Parshas Kayisara. So Nesiva Shalom brings down the beginning. The pasuk says there was Rayu Kayisara Meishana Besim Shana Veshana Shana Veshana Kayisara. This is the life of Sara. And he says that right. The Mepharshim Medakdik a little bit here. First of all, why does it have to keep on? Why does it have to tell Shnei Chayei Sarah? We don't find it there, but these are the years of the life of Sarah, right? The years of the life of Sarah. And we know, Bayama, she died, right? You know, it doesn't say it by, these are the years of Avram, these are the years of Yitzchak, Yitzishka, if we're coming, come on in, okay? It's not so cold.
Freezing.
Okay, so. Back here, let's focus. Okay, I gotta focus. So the first kasha that the Zir Shalom says in the pasuk is why are we stressing the life of Chayisar, Shnei Chayisar? And secondly, Rashi also tells us an interesting thing. Rashi says, "Kul and Shavim L'Toivah," that all of the days of the life of Sarah were all good. What's the point of that? You think they're not good?
Who says L'Toivah?
Rashi says it. Kul and Shavim L'Toivah. They're all good.
No, they weren't. She was kidnapped. Just put it in a box.
Okay, so there were challenges, right?
She died of a heart attack.
So first of all, what does Rashi mean? So the first question is, were they really all good? When we look at it, we don't see it that way. But Rashi's telling us, yes. The reason that the Torah is telling us all the lives of the day of Sarah is to tell us that it was all good. So we have to understand, what does that mean? Because we're looking at it and seeing that it's not all good, or it appears to not all be good. Next question. A couple of questions to the Seer Shalom. Beautiful idea. So he says the following. It says that after Sarah was Nifter, it says Avram Avinu eulogized her. It says Vilif Kosad, he cried for her. And in the Torah, it's a small chaf. It's a small chaf, a chaf zira, small chaf. And all the Mepharshim Abalu, why the small chaf? Seems like he minimized the crying for some reason, for some purpose. What was going on? Why the small chaf? Saying that, I mean, this is your wife of a whole life, that you had a mission together to build the Jewish people, you'd think it would be a big chaf, or a much bigger chaf. Okay. Last kasha. We'll go to another kasha. Here we go. So now, Rashi tells us as well that Nisbucha Misa Sarah Lakedas Yitzchak, that the Misa of Sarah was written in proximity to Lakedas Yitzchak. We know the end of last week's Parsha Vayera. We just got through the ultimate, the pinnacle, the test of Avram Avinu of Lakedas Yitzchak, right? And right after that test comes this Besura, this news that Sarah has died. Okay? So, Rashi says an interesting thing, and we have to understand this. This is a very difficult Rashi to understand. Rashi says like this, because of the news of the Akedah, that Sarah's son, her son was ready to be slaughtered, and he was almost there, right? He was right there, almost the moment where he was going to get slaughtered. Her neshama left her and she died. So Rashi's giving the appearance, or it's giving us the appearance, that somehow the Akedah seemed to maybe have something to do with Sarah's death. So how do we understand this? And that's how he's explaining the Misa of Sarah's Akedah Zitzchak, that somehow it had something to do with it. What do you mean? How did it have something to do with it?
Who's asking? Rashi's asking?
No, Seir Shalom's asking. What's the, you know, Rashi asked the original question. Why is the Misa of Sarah next to Akedas Yitzchak? And Rashi tells us to tell you that when she heard the news, she died. So it would seem like it was almost a cause. It was related.
Okay, so what's the
Seir Shalom's question? Well, first of all, the Torah just told us that these were the days of Sarah. This is her complete life. See, it has nothing to do with whether Yitzchak was about to have the Akedah or not. This was her time, her moment was up, she lived her life fully, kul and shav l'tarv and done. One should have nothing to do with the other. But yet the Torah is putting it in close proximity to tell me maybe it did. So we need to understand. We need to understand it. Let's see. Before you jump, okay?
I just don't understand why it's such a bomb kasha.
You'll see the teretz will explain to you why it's such a bomb kasha. And the teretz will be a bigger bomb. Okay?
It has to do probably something with relationships.
Okay, so let's see. And especially, I guess, what makes it the bigger kasha, this Yerushalm stresses, there's a concept, and maybe this will answer your point. The concept is Shema Mitzvah Yeda Dabara. In Kehelos, we say that someone who observes a mitzvah does not know anything bad. Which means, if Avram Avinu was fulfilling the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and do this Akedah, that should cause the death of his wife, makes absolutely no sense. Okay? That's what strengthens the Nesivah Shalom Kasha. Because he's doing the best that he can for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then in that moment you're going to take away his wife? How can that be? Doesn't make any sense. So let's understand it. Okay, that sounds a little better?
Yes.
Okay, we just satisfied Yitzi. Okay, so now let's continue. So how could it be? And he says, the Nisayan Kaddish Kazeh Yatzah Davara. How could it be from such a holy Nisayan should come out such a bad thing that Tzoras dies? And especially he strengthens the question. Because Tzoras was on a greater Madrega of Nevuah than Avram Avinu. We were told already a few weeks ago in the Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Kosher, Thomas Sarah Tishma Bakola, you're supposed to listen to her voice. So if she's on a higher Madrega and he passed the test, she should have passed the test too, right? She's even higher than him. Okay, so now let's go through this. So we have four kashas. I'll repeat it for those who came in. Four quick questions. First of all, why do we repeat Shnei Chaye Sarah, this idea that these are all the days of Sarah? We don't do that by anybody else. Rashi also tells us, secondly, Kul and Shav and Latoyva, they were all good, and immediately we jump up, were they really all good? She had some really hard times. And why is that being stressed? And then we said there's a Chav Ze'ira, a small Chav, when Abraham cried for her. Why the small Chav, if anything, it should be a tremendous tragedy and a tremendous, tremendous feeling of loss.
It should be a big Chav.
It should be a big Chav. It should be the biggest Chav in the world, maybe. I don't know. And then the last question is, understanding the relationship and proximity of the parishes of Akedat Yitzchak to the death of Sarah, that would give the appearance that one was related to the other, and as Siv Shalom says, it's so hard to understand. I mean, you read Pasha Pshat and Rashi and you think, oh, that's what happened. How could it be? How could it be that of such a great mitzvah and a sayon that Avram passed, that Sarah dies because of that? How could it be? So let's understand. We're going to understand, as the old Jewish way is, that we answer a question with another question. So here we go. We're going to answer these four questions with another question. And the kasha is the following. In davening, which we're about to do in Maariv in about a half hour from now, there's a line that we say, V'hoseh satan l'faneinu me'achareinu, that we should remove the satan from before us and from behind us. Okay? So what does that mean? Just say remove the satan. We just don't like him. Okay, let's remove him. What's before us, behind us? What does this mean? Before and after.
Once you do the mitzvah, you don't regret it that you did the mitzvah?
So Michael is jumping ahead. And he understands the yisoid here that we're about to bring out, which is a beautiful yisoid in life, and something that we all need to know, which Nesivah Shalom is very good at, pushing this idea, or a lot of these ideas. And he says the following. The Medrash tells us, before Akedas Yitzchak, what was going on? The Satan was working overtime to try to stop Avram and Yitzchak from doing this monumental task of showing their love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. And the Satan was trying to appear to them in all kinds of ways and all kinds of different aids, as the Medrash says, to try to stop them from doing what they were told to do. And guess what? The Satan failed. Missed him. Avram passed the test. They went ahead. They were ready to do it. The Satan tried everything he could. He brought out every tool, everything in his toolbox that he could do, and he couldn't get him. So now it's post the Nisayon. It's post the Nisayon. Right? The Nisayon happened. Avram passes. Hashem says, Ati Adati Kriya Lekim Ata. Whoa. But you think the Satan gives up then? Is the Satan going to then call it in and throw in the towel? No. When we say the Satan works overtime and the Yetzer Hara is after us, he's not just satisfied with fighting you until you get to the final point and you beat him. There's this concept of charata that we all know. To regret what you did, even if it was something good. How many times do we feel like, you know, you pulled out in the middle of the night to do something, someone tells you to go somewhere and to help them, and you get there, and then they didn't really need you in the end. You're like, ha. You feel like, you know, you regret you ever left, but the whole window, don't regret it. You just went to do a Dvar Mitzvah, right? And sometimes you go out and you think you're going to do a Dvar Mitzvah, and you think a lot of people are going to be there, and there's only like one or two people there, and it's like lame. You think, oh, I didn't really, you know, what did I really accomplish? No. Anytime you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to hold on to that. You never regret anything. Anything of Ruchnis, there's never a regret. There's never a regret for Ruchnis, but the Yetzer will try. He'll throw all kinds of different things at you. Yeah, it wasn't really worth it. You didn't really accomplish that much. You didn't really do that much. But guess what? Because you did that mitzvah, look what else happened. Right? All of a sudden, because you went ahead and did a mitzvah, you just missed out on a golden opportunity. You decided not to join your, not to do something and join people and do something that maybe shouldn't be done. And you did a mitzvah, and oh, they all had such a great time, and everyone did such great things and amazing. And you're like, yeah, maybe I should have been with them. Maybe I shouldn't, right? No. The Yetzer is always coming after you. He's not satisfied that they didn't get you to do the mitzvah, to hold you back. He wants you to regret anything positive that you ever did in your life. So when Avram does this amazing thing, and Yitzchak together, the Yetzer has got a plan. Okay, you beat me. But now, well listen, Sarah's time is up anyway. She's about to die. Let's make this look. Let's try to spread the word that she dies because, oh, it's Yitzchak just almost look what has happened. And try to give the appearance that it's because of this. And then that comes into Avram's face. Right after he finishes this amazing act, boom, his wife dies. And he's trying to creep into Avram's mind like, maybe I shouldn't have done it. And Avram passes that in a sign too.
So that was an 11th test.
No, so according to Rabbeinu Yonah, which I forgot to mention in the beginning, Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Rishonim, lists the 10 tests as number 9 being Akedas Yitzchak and number 10 being the death of Sarah. And all the Mepharshim are puzzled. How in the world is there ever anything? Of course, the tests seem to be ascending in order, getting worse and harder and harder. Akedas Yitzchak is the hardest. Sarah dying, she was 127 years old. She lived a full life. Okay, she died around the same time. You just passed the big test and you can't share the news with her. But it's nowhere near Akedas Yitzchak. So how in the world could Rabbeinu Yonah say that this is the 10th test? That's what the Mepharshim asked. This is an added question.
He switches out another test for this one?
He switches out, because some of the tests are dual. We won't go into what all the 10 tests was, but Rabbeinu Yonah counts a different number of 10, and this becomes a 10th. According to this, the Sefer Shalom and what he's bringing down, it's absolutely beautiful. Because this is part of that Nesayon of Akedas Yitzchak. Exactly this point that we say in Shmoneh Esrei, "V'haz Satan l'fanenu me'acharenu." Remove the Satan from before us and behind us. This was still part of Akedas Yitzchak's test. The Yetzer couldn't stop Avram from doing it, but then afterwards he's coming at him again. Still, regret it. Look what happened because of it. Was it really worth it? He's throwing all his doubts into his head, and Avram passes that too. And you know how we know Avram passes it? The small chaf. What does Avram do? Lispo the servant of Kosa, he minimized the hesped. Which means he showed, if he would have cried way too much, then it would have been perceived by everybody around him. Ah, look, he's regretting what he did. He knows he caused the death of his wife. He's all remorseful. He's guilty. No, he controlled himself. He knew she lived a long life and a full life, and he eulogized her as such, of course, respectfully and properly. But he didn't do it overboard as if that was the cause of it and the guilt feelings that came with it. It was clear from his eulogy that he was holding on to that test and not regretting it for 1 minute. Because this didn't cause that. She lived a full life. And this was her time. And he went back at the Yetzer Hara even after the big test. And Avram held strong. And that's why, it says by Rashi, he said in the beginning, why did Rashi have to stress Kulan Shavin L'Toiva? And these are the days of Chayisara. Because we're stressing the point that this was Shnei Chaye Sarah. This was the time for her to die. This was her life, and this was the time for her to die. Not because of a Akedas Yitzchak, not something else that caused it on. This was the time that she was supposed to die. And Kul and Shav and Latova, meaning it all was good in the eyes of a Tzadekes, and in the eyes of the Tzadek who was married to Avram Avinu. Any challenge that they went through, they realized was a way to help them bring closer to Hashem. And even this challenge, which was a monumental challenge to be ready to give up his only son, even in this Nisayon, from in front and in back, Avram fought it on all sides, and Sarah understood that. And I'm actually going to flip the words around to everybody right now, and the Siv Shalom doesn't say this, but actually Rashi supports this idea that really Sarah was totally thrilled and totally happy. And she did not die because of the Akedah. And let's look at the Pashup shot of the words of Rashi.
About the Akedah.
She was, listen to this, thrilled that they were about to do something to serve Hashem. Listen to this. What does Rashi say? Let's read the words carefully. Rashi says, "Vijayidei besuras ha'akedah," because of the information or the news of the Akedah, and his dam ibn al-Shchita, that her son was ready to be shechted, u'kimat shalonishchat, and he almost wasn't shechted. Hold on a second. Did I read that right? Rashi doesn't say that she heard he was about to be shechted and oh my gosh, he's going to get killed. No, she heard he almost, maybe Avram wasn't going to carry it through. That's what was bothering her. It was bothering her that Avram wasn't going to have the guts to do what he was supposed to do because she wanted him to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's what Parshat Shmos and Rashi really says. Ukimat Shalonishkat, and he almost didn't do it. That was bothering her. So if anything, obviously these are lofty people living on the high Madrega, but they understood what it means, dedication, and Mesiras Nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how to live life with the ultimate being in touch with the Ratzon Hashem. And to her it was cool and shovel and sober. There was nothing bad. There was nothing bad about this. If anything, she would have been right side by side with her husband, cheering him on. If this is what we're supposed to do, whether we understand it or not. And I think this is an amazing idea in general. But this concept of how the Yetzer Hara just keeps on coming at you. It keeps on coming at you from in front, from behind, and anywhere in between to stop any growth in Avodas Hashem. And when you see people like Avram and Sarah who stayed consistent, and you know, this is really the key, and I'll give a good mashal for this that everyone can understand, the key in life. And maybe one could ask, like I just mentioned, according to Ben Yonah, after Avram passed the test of Akedas Yitzchak, like why did he need this extra little test of Sarah's death? So we're explaining until now is that it was part of the Nisayon really, right? Because the sun's coming on all sides. And it really shows the strength of who Avram was. And let me explain. When you deal with sports, Lahavdil, we'll separate a little bit sports. I like sports analogies. And you have two football teams, let's say a really good team like the Patriots and a really bad team. I could say the Bears, but I won't because I don't want to upset too many people here in Chicago. But I'll say, we could say the Jets, but I'm from New York, so I'm not going to say them either. We'll say the Bengals who haven't won a game this year, okay? So let's say we got the Patriots and the Bengals, okay? Best team, worst team. And one week, for whatever reason, so listen, one week, listen, the good team is winning every big test, right? And one week, the bad team, the weak team, just everything is in sync. It's going great. And boom, they win the game by a field goal at the end, and no one knows how it happened. It's like they just, somebody got hot that day. Something happened. It can happen, right? But what shows a really good team is consistency. Once in a while, you can get up for the big game. But then the next week, you fall flat on your face, and you lose by 50 points, right? So that team is still not, hasn't proven themselves. They got up for one big test. And the truth is, yes, we know Avram was tested a bunch of times. But even so, for a big test like the one he was challenged, you could get up for the big test and really push yourself even harder to confront that big challenge. The real test of true righteousness and true tzidkus of a person is consistency. What do you do the day after that big test? What happens to the smaller test you get right after it? Are you going to keep on going and being consistent in your Avodas Hashem? Or are you just going to slack off and just lose it? Right? The really good teams, anybody big, anybody small, they just keep on beating them. Right? They're consistent. Avram Avinu, who was the tzaddik, who was the beginning of the Jewish people, was consistent. Throw him the big test, throw him the small test, before or afterwards, consistent. And that's what we have to strive for. We have to strive for that ability to be consistent in our lives. And recognize the kul and shav and the toiva. And recognize the dangers of stepping off the gas pedal sometimes. You know, we always have to be aware that there's a challenge coming at us. And if we think, and we look at what we're doing, and we daven to Hashem v'siyata d'shmaya, we'll be able to confront those challenges. It's not too overwhelming. You just have to open your eyes a little bit and be aware. When you do something good, be happy about it. Talk about it more. Hold on to it. Don't ever regret it. When you're up for a big challenge and you pass it, great. But then remember the small challenges that still happen the next day too. Remember, get up the next day with the same energy and the same fire and the same enthusiasm. For any mitzvah and any avodas Hashem is so worthwhile. Every little bit that we can pump ourselves up, that we can get close to Hashem, it's amazing, it's incredible. We should feel gifted, we should feel blessed that we're able to do that. And I'll,
is that what freedom of choice is all about?
That is what prayer is all about, sure. It's choosing and choosing and choosing and making the right choices. What time do you have now with it?
At like 11 or 12.
What?
9:12.
9:12, okay. So, this is Yisod number one from this year, Shalom, this week. And I wanted to add another Yisod tonight also. So the first thing is there's a consistency and how the HR comes at us either way. But I think there's something, so to be able to be consistent, I want to pick something easy and small, which the Yisod Shalom says in another piece, this week's Parasha, that we should be able to attack. And don't feel like we're, you know, how do we win this battle then? If the HR is always coming at me, how am I going to make it? I mean, this is a little, it's a daunting task. How do we battle this Yetzirah? So there's a very simple way. And to be consistent, you have to start with small steps. Small steps. And we're going to find later on, when Stephen Shalom brings us down, I'm going to quote this over here. And again, we find something about the days, actually, mentioned by Avram Avinu, a different language. Doesn't say Shnei Chayei Sarah, Shnei Chayei Avram, but it says the following: For Avram Zakein Ba Bayamim, Avram was old and coming on in his days. Ba Bayamim. Strange language. Also, Ba Bayamim. What does that mean? What's being added? We know he got old. Avram Zakein, just like it says, Ahik Zakein Yitzchak. Yitzchak was old. What do we need a definition? Ba Bayamim. He's like coming of age, so to speak.
Getting
up there in years. And we find also by Avram, it says something different than the rest of the others, Ve'yei Bracha. That Bracha should be with Avram, meaning that anyone who attached themselves to Avram got Bracha. And it seems like it was totally in Avram Avinu, the Bracha of Avram, Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol, he was blessed with everything. And we end the bracha, the first of Shemesh, Magen Avram. Avram is like the most blessed. So what does this mean? We end with Avram. Avram is the most blessed. Avram is the Berach Bakol. He's Baba Yamim, like almost like a full days, maybe it's expressing. What does this mean? What is Avram all about? So the Nesiv Shalom says a beautiful thought. And he quotes from the Shabbat Kaddish and from others. And he says the following. The Baba Yom is referring to a completion of days of the fulfillment of the character of Avram Avinu, the Midah of Chesed. Avram Avinu was known for Chesed, and we spoke about this last week a little bit as well in the Siyur Shalom. And on that, the Torah is commenting Baba Yomim, that he came full, complete in his days. Every single day, he was consistent in this Midah of Chesed. And now I just want to quote to you a line here, and this is the key, this is the antidote to fight the HR every single day, not such a daunting task, but to do small consistent things every day. And he brings the following, the Yom Shi Yehudi Ein Oisa Bei Chesed, the day, and he quotes this in the Shalom, the day that the Jew doesn't do a chesed, lo nechshav ki yom b'chayov, is not considered like he lived that day. You go a day without chesed, you were dead that day. You did not live. Kimirumuz, the Maimar HaKosev, he brings out a pasuk and tell him, chesed kol hayoyim, chesed kim kol hayoyim, that every day you need to do an act of chesed. One act. One small movement in the right direction every single day. Be consistent. Do an act of chesed. You know, for years, Klai Yisrael have a tremendous minhag. Someone has a pushka around by Oz Yashir or whatever, by davening. You put a little bit in, you did a chesed. You started your day with a chesed. You started your day with a chesed. There's a reason why the minhag is in Klai Yisrael like that. But it's more than that. Picking up the phone, it's calling somebody. Someone asks you to do a favor, do it. Certain things, just one by one, little thing, one act. Just do an act of chesed, you lived it that day. And you're already fighting up against the Yetzer because you're being consistent. You're not letting go. Every day you have a conscious mind, I'm going to do chesed. Listen, it's like every day a person's got to do certain tasks, right? Everybody does things in their own home, for their business, for whatever they do. A Yid's life, every day you got to do chesed. You just got to do chesed every day. It's not a life without chesed. That's who we are. Olam chesed yibana, the world is built off chesed. What does that mean? It thrives on chesed. Mechadish b'chol yom tuho, ma'aseh v'reish v'akadosh baruch hu, mechadish every day creation. Guess what? We're mechadish every day our creation by doing an act of chesed, by connecting to another person, by thinking of another person, by davening for another person, by helping another person. And that's how Avram became the great Avram, that the Sultan couldn't get him from in front or from in back, because he just consistently was building muscle every day, the muscle of chesed. And he was so strong in his avodas Hashem, you can't take him down. And that's what we can do. We can build that spiritual muscle of a chesed every single day. I want to say a beautiful story I heard about Rav Michi Yehuda Lefkovich. That's how very, very amazing gadol in Eretz Yisrael. And someone came to him once, a Rebbe came to him once and asked him, you know, he was thinking of taking a sabbatical. You know, he's a Rebbe ready for, you know, for a bunch of years, and he needs a break. He needs a break. And he wanted to ask Rashiva, you know, guidance, you know, can he have Rashus to take a break and just sit and learn for a year and just recharge his battery, so to speak, and then go back and give shiur. So Rabbi Yehuda told him, I can't answer your question. So he was stunned. He says, Rebbe, when I ask you all my shilas, you give me always the answers. Like, why can't you answer it? Like, what's the heart? So he said to him the following. He said, you said in your question, you need some time for yourself. You need time off. You need to be, right? I can't understand the question, because I've been teaching Talmidim for years and I'm devoted to them. I never think of myself. So I don't know how to answer your question, because I don't know what that means. Think about that for a second. He's so connected to Talmidim. He's giving his life to Talmidim every single day. He can't understand, what does it mean that you want to just take off time for yourself? How do you just take off time for yourself and not give? He says, so I can't fairly answer your question because I can't relate to you. That's something special. That's someone who's really tuned in to the needs of others. And believe me, that was someone who was doing chesed every day, who was looking out for every year, who was looking out for all of his Talmidim, who was caring for them, who was thinking about them.
You're talking about the guy that asked.
What?
You're talking about the guy that asked.
No, I'm talking about the Rebbe too. I'm talking about the answer. You know, the answer he gave.
I'm talking about the guy that asked also.
I'm sure the guy that asked was dedicated, and he was looking for a little break finally, but he got his answer.
He's a Muslim.
He got his answer. You know what? When you're dedicated to the Klal and you're working with it, you need to be consistent and keep that chesed going every day. If your chesed is to be the Rebbe, you have to be there for them. Yes, you need to charge your batteries once in a while. Everyone knows that. But to take a full year off and not do it, not so simple. And Michi Yehuda he didn't know how to relate to that question even. And I think on a simpler level for us, so maybe we're not teaching Talmidim all the time, or we have those types of achrayim, but to do a chesed every day, to think of another Jew every day, to be able to lift someone up every day, just to put a we put reminders in our phones for all kinds of things. You know, remember to go to the grocery, remember pick up this, remember do this. So just put in one little reminder in the morning. Do a chesed. And actually my wife for this, that she did this for many years. She used to have on her phone, it would say do mitzvahs. That was her screensaver, was do mitzvahs. Just do mitzvahs. And she showed it to the kids, like every day, like, you know, the kids would take her phone, look at her phone, do mitzvahs. Have in mind, just. And you know what? When you're thinking a certain way, you end up acting that way. It's just a conditioning. It's a conditioning. It's making it a habit that this is part of our DNA and part of what we do. And when we are consistent with our actions, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to be very matzliach. We'll be very successful. Being able to fight the Yetzer Hara from the front, from behind, from whenever the Yetzer comes at us, because we're being consistent. And it doesn't have to be with big things. Small, consistent steps. Avram did a lot of small acts of chesed for years that built him up to become the Avram who he was. And we can do the small things too. We can do the small acts of chesed every day for somebody else. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zocha that this should be the year where we those acts of chesed get all collected. And they get collected up in Shemayim, that we should be able to be zocha to see the B.S. Karel Tzedek in heaven.
Amen. Fire.